Well, in 1979, I was 25 years old, and I was living in a commune in Waverly. I don't know if there's any Waverlyites here, but there we go, Waverly. In those days, Waverly was like the little Greenwich Village of Baltimore. And there were many other communal houses. The hub was Bread and Roses Coffee House, Sam's Belly Co-op, and the 31st Street Bookstore that were on 31st Street. Our communal house was at Berkwood and Barclay. It was called the Berkwood House. And it really was a very special time. We did not have a TV. We didn't even have a phone. And, of course, there was no internet. And actually what people did was many of us were artists and musicians and poets and philosophers, a lot of political activists. But what you did was you sat around and you told stories like this, and that's how you got to know people, was by sharing your stories of your life. And it was a very sweet time. We weren't focused on making money. We didn't have to make very much money to make our lives work. And we took odd jobs. We were beloved in the neighborhood. We got child care and house painting jobs. And we also did a lot of favors for people. And it was such a spontaneous type of lifestyle. We were really focused on being in the moment, being awake and aware. And a lot of us were doing a lot of personal growth work. And it wasn't at all about doing and making money and being in the culture of upwardly mobile was, like, completely far away from where we were. It was a humble, sweet, beautiful time. Lots of friends in the neighborhood. Sometimes I'd come downstairs thinking I was getting a glass of water and I wouldn't make it back home for a couple days. somebody would sweep you out the door to another party and... You know, you'd be jamming and doing art and going. So it was really, really special time. One of the things we really loved to do, and on this story evolves around, it was a hot summer's day, and six of us said, hey, let's go to the reservoir. Now, we had forged our own trail at Pretty Boy to our own rock spot. And we could park our car legally and walk about a quarter of a mile along the road. And then maybe it was another mile or so through the woods to get to this spot. And we had forged the trail and found the spot, and it was really sweet. And so we spontaneously, and spontaneity, by the way, is a symptom of freedom. I'm glad you like that, yeah. These days, it seems a little harder to come by for some reason. It does feel a little different now. But so we all headed off in Ethel, my 1968 Chevy Nova. And, you know, we got to the rock, and, you know, it was such a hot day. We were shedding our clothes as we climbed that last hill, and then just all running and jumping and diving in this crystal clear, just spring-fed, wonderful water. And we knew there were no rocks underneath. It was very safe. Boy, did that feel good on a hot day. I want to say something about being naked outside with really close friends. It just... I don't know y'all, so I don't know if many of you have had that pleasure. I bet some of you have, just by what I'm feeling here. And it, and it feels very natural. It's very sweet. And you know, I would actually totally forget I was naked because it felt so natural. You would just forget. And we were all nature lovers. That was sort of our religion, really. And so there we all were, and it was a very hot day. And we decided to swim across to the opposite shoreline where there was shade. So I had my mid-sized inner tube that we all paddled over together, and we hung out over there a few hours and just had a really sweet day. And the sunset was sort of coming on, and we swam back across. We get back to the rock, and we find all of our clothes and our towels are gone. They're gone. There's nothing there. That's, I did feel naked then. Definitely felt very naked. And so we thought that a friend was going to jump out and go, ha ha, you know, we took your clothes and here they are. But no, we were patient, you know, but no, that didn't happen. So we got a little spooked, like, well, what should we do? And it was four guys and two gals, and two of the guys, we decided no one should be alone, and two of the guys went off to look for the clothes in the woods while we waited. And they were gone a while, and when they came back, we could see they sort of had their arms like this, and we thought, oh, good, they found them. But no, what they had were bundles of very large leaves. So, and it was, and we came up with a brilliant plan, and so we gathered around Timmy, and we tied the stem to the leaves together, and we fashioned sort of a leaf skirt for Timmy, and then we were sort of chagrined, because there were only three leaves left, but Joey said, no, that's okay, and he demonstrated one leaf in the front, and two leaves held just so on the back for each cheek, so the plan was they would go get the car. Now, a nice detail about Ethel was that the ignition had broken in Ethel, and my mechanic said, well, for $150, I can fix the ignition, but for $20, I can hotwire your car to a button in the ashtray. And you know which option I took, right? So one of Ethel's doors were slightly smashed, and the doors didn't lock. So all that was fortuitous, because it meant we could, you know, we could start the car, because all of our keys and everything were gone. So Timmy and Joey went on ahead, and the four of us waited a while and followed behind. And the plan was they would get the car and pull up right next to where the path came out, and we all jumped in, and then those funky floor mats just became golden. And everybody was wrestling and tug-of-warring over those floor mats because people were trying to find things to cover themselves with because, you know, now we're going back into public totally naked, six of us, right? So I felt like I was sitting pretty because I had my inner tube, which was just right, just so, you know, as I sat. So I was good to go, but... And one of the guys took one of the visors off, and that worked. And, you know, there was a funky old, you know, dirty oil rag, and somebody else grabbed that. And everyone was real grouchy. No one thought it was the slightest bit funny, you know. I was serious, serious. So we get in the car, and we take off, and immediately the idiot light starts dinging, and we realize, oh, no, we're almost out of gas. Oh, no. And then there's like a new wave of, oh, no, because then we didn't even want to imagine Timmy in his leaf skirt, like, you know, walking down the road with a gas can or something, you know. So, lucky thing, in those days, there were still full station gas stations, full service, you know. And so we had to head for York Road, and we headed for York Road, and we got to the gas station, thank God. We made it in there. The strangest thing was the gas station attendant came over and was just deadpan, as if he always saw six naked people with leaves and car parts covering them, you know. He was like, how much do you want? And we realized we didn't have any money, and so then we had to dig under the seats and behind each other while we were trying to hold our coverings on, you know. And we came up with 43 cents, which... In those days, I bought a half gallon of gas. Gas was like 80 cents a gallon, 1979, right? So you'll be happy to know we made it home. We made it home. And we scurried in one at a time, backed into the house, you know. And a little postscript is the next day, Joey went back and he found all of our clothes. The keys and ID that people were worried about was still there. The few dollars we had with us was gone. And we continued to swim at that spot for the next 5 years, but I don't think we ever left our clothes unguarded. Thank you.